Let's go to 2 Timothy 3:1 and let's see what this says. You should also know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. The King James calls it perilous times. Very difficult. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. I mean, everything that we just read in those two sentences, those two verses, we have already seen come to pass this year. Let's go to verse 3 and 4. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and have no interest in what is good. They will betray their friends. They will be reckless. They will be puffed up with pride and love pleasure rather than God. I think about the churches ought to be the big edifices there is in the world. I mean, for a few years, you know, they did build big, beautiful churches like in England and all over the world. I've went to some of them as I've traveled all over the world. Some magnificent churches. But guess what? There ain't nobody in them no more. Especially when you go to England. Churches are empty over there. The Muslims have moved in. They're taking some of those big, beautiful churches and making mosques out of them. What do you think the American Civil Liberties Union would do if we called a prayer meeting for downtown Dallas on Main Street and we got out in the middle of the street and bowed down for all day and had a special prayer meeting? If we were to say we were going to do that and close the streets in downtown Dallas, what kind of an uprising do you think some of these unions, outfits, some of these law firms, what do you think they would say? You know, but do you know when the Muslims call a meeting like that and shut down the street, they don't say nothing. There's something wrong here. But God told us these things were going to happen. I was just watching a video in France where they had shut down a whole section of town. There was thousands of Muslim men on their face side by side in the middle of the streets for blocks. Place is shut down. You can't go nowhere down there. And then like I showed you last week, Sharia law. If you haven't seen the Time magazine for this month, this last month, you need to find out what happens to a woman. Any woman that would vote in Sharia law in America, she's lost her mind. She don't have a clue what she's doing. Just like that little girl on the airplane I told you about last week. I mean, she told me I didn't know what I was talking about. She said, Sharia, I work in a mosque. And she said, Sharia law is okay. So Muslims are good. They're peaceful people. Yeah. I just told her, I said, honey, you're not very well read. So it's amazing what is going on today in our country. Verse 5 and 6. They will act as if they are religious, these people. But they will reject the power that could make them godly. You must stay away from people like that. Now, this was written 2,000 years ago, and the Lord's telling us these things are going to happen sometime in the future. I believe we're there. I'm seeing these things happen, and of course, as some of you know that's been coming here regularly, you heard me already say, I believe with all my heart we have entered into the tribulation, the final 7 years. I think it started this year. And I've explained to some of you why I believe it's there. I believe it totally because of the 62 weeks of feast that Jesus talked about, and when Israel celebrated 62 this last May. So when they celebrated their 62nd birthday, they celebrated 62 weeks of the feast, and then the set of seven, which I believe we're in now, which is the beginning of the tribulation period, and 3.5 years into this, we're going to be at the middle or at the great tribulation period, and then there's going to be 3.5 more years, and then the next year, Jesus is coming again. So I think we're only 8 years away from the King coming and reigning and ruling on this earth. So if we are there with what's going on, you and I can't stop it. All this stuff that he says in his words is going to happen, it's going to happen. But we need to pray. And just one of the things we can do with these kind of people, you talk to these people about Jesus, and if they're not interested, what does he tell you to do there? Stay away from them. Is that what he said? You talk to them about Jesus, if they're not interested, you know, and they're violent, stay away from them. Don't get close to them. Just stay away, you know. They are the kind who work their way into people's home and win the confidence of vulnerable women. I have something to say, and I wish the whole Christian church could hear what I have to say about women. Number one, God made the man to rule the country. He didn't make women to rule the country. He didn't make women to be CEOs of corporations. He made women to rule the home at home with the children and raise up the children in the love and admonition of God. That's what he created a woman for. And there's not a privilege greater than that. No woman could have a privilege greater than being the one that rules the world by the way she teaches her children about Jesus. The man, he made him to get out and work. And while daddy's out working, mama's supposed to be at home with the children, raising them, teaching them the word of God. But how many women do that today? Some, but not many. I mean, it's so devastating. Even the women in the church, they're so involved in the things of the world, they fit some of this criteria that we're fixing to read about. They're the kind who work their way into people's homes and win the confidence of vulnerable women who are burdened with the guilt of sin and controlled by many desires. Some guy from church. You're one of those kind of women. And you're not paying attention. The guy weasels his way in to your home. And next thing you know, he's got you in bed. This is what this is talking about. Be very cautious who you invite into your home if you're a woman. Be very cautious because of this scripture. Oh, I know we don't have any sex sins in the church, do we? God clearly said, no sex outside of marriage. No divorce. We don't have any of that in the church, do we? No, there's as many divorces in the church as there is in the world. There's as many sex sins. In fact, I just read an article that 62% of every human being in America, male or female, has herpes. 70 million plus men and women, grown men and women, have herpes, which there's no cure. No cure. Only God can cure it. There's nobody else. Do you know what? As a man, if I was not a married man, and when my wife died, got killed in the car wreck, I just looked at God and I said, God, I know what's going on out there in the world. And I know that the women out there, that if I were to marry another woman, she'd have to be somewhere close, reasonably close to my age. And if she was, she's got to have children, grandchildren, or whatever. And she's got to have been out there in the world, and who knows how many men she might have been to bed with in her life, and no telling what kind of sickness and disease she may have. I said, God, it's just you and me. I ain't going out there looking for one. I ain't going to date one on my own, because if I date one on my own, I'll come up with the wrong one, and then I go to bed with her, and then I got some kind of sickness that she's got, and I don't want it. I said, I've kept myself clean and pure all these years. All these years I've walked with you, and I've never went to bed with another woman. Since my wife and I got married years ago, I ain't never went to bed with another woman. Never. I said, I ain't going to. I'm going to walk holy in your presence. It's not safe to go to bed with a woman, even in church. It's unbelievable, the diseases that are out there, because men have crept in unaware to women that are vulnerable in the church and deceive them, and now then they've caught some kind of a disease, and some of those diseases are incurable. They're not curable. It's devastating what's going on out there. But God tells us all this stuff's going to happen. Then verse 7 and 8. Such women are forever following new teachings, but they never understand the truth. Oh, man, they're just going everywhere. I mean, every time they hear about somebody, man, if he's a charismatic teacher, he's preaching something new, whatever, let's go see him or her. So they're being led astray. Whereas when we talk about these teachings fight the truth, just as Jannes and Jambres fought against Moses. Their minds are depraved and their faith is counterfeit. Let me ask you a question. As a child of God, the Lord clearly told us as children of God, we are to be out winning souls into the kingdom of God. You know, the first 25 years as a Christian, I did not know that and I did not do that. I mean, if you'd asked me as a deacon in a Southern Baptist church and a Sunday school teacher and I'd been saved 25 years, you'd have said, how many people you led to Jesus this year? I'd have said, well, that's a preacher's job. It's mine and your job. It ain't the preacher's job. It's all of us to talk about Jesus. Well, although I was a deacon, I was a Sunday school teacher, I was not leading anybody to Christ, and I sure wasn't getting anybody healed. I did not know what was available to me from the Word of God. Why? I studied only the information that was sent to me from Tennessee that was written in the little quarterly called the Southern Baptist Quarterly. I taught exactly what they taught. Did I read the whole chapter of the book? They'd take a verse out of here and a verse out of here. And what they said, that's what I taught. And so for years, I taught in a Southern Baptist church as a deacon and a Sunday school teacher. And you know how much I knew about God's Word? That's almost nothing. You were generous to me there when you said this much. You know, I probably knew about this much, maybe this much, Kim, but not that much. Now, what a shame. So one day when I began to really read the Word, I found out what I was supposed to do, didn't we, Paul? Hey, we're supposed to go out there and do something for Jesus, guy. I mean, if we're driving a truck, you know, every time we stop somewhere, we get a load of whatever we haul, water or gravel or whatever we haul or cows or whatever, we talk to the people about Jesus. You know Jesus? And you'd be amazed at those that don't. Well, yeah, I go to church, but there's two things I don't talk about. That's politics and religion. I just tell you, you don't know Jesus. You don't know the King. If you're not willing to talk about Him, you don't know Him. You know, that's the whole thing. But the thing that really gets me is since we as the adults don't know anything, we don't teach them to our children. So our children grow up. Like I was telling you all the other day, I got some information on the children that go to college.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, Occupy Until the King Comes, in its entirety or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.